From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, From Every Sin. The text is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. He shall save his people from their sins. Lord, save me from my sins. By thy name of Jesus, I am encouraged thus to pray. Save me from my past sins, that the habit of them may not hold me captive. Save me from my constitutional sins, that I may not be the slave of my own weaknesses. Save me from the sins which are constantly under my eye, that I may not lose my horror of them. Save me from secret sins, sins unperceived by me from my want of light. Save me from sudden and surprising sins. Let me not be carried off my feet by a rush of temptation. Save me, Lord, from every sin. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Thou alone canst do this. I cannot snap my own chains or slay my own enemies. Thou knowest temptation, for thou wast tempted. Thou knowest sin, for thou didst bear the weight of it. Thou knowest how to succor me in my hour of conflict. Thou canst save me from sinning, and save me when I have sinned. It is promised in thy very name that thou wilt do this, and I pray thee, let me this day verify the prophecy. Let me not give way to temper or pride or despondency or any form of evil. But do thou save me unto holiness of life, that thy name of Jesus may be glorified in me abundantly.
Approach my soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer.
There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish.
Thy promise is my only plea, with this I venture nigh.
Thou callest burdened souls to thee, and such, O Lord, am I.
Down be it, O Lord, and hear my prayer.
these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude the first of two messages entitled, What We Must Learn from How God Blessed Abraham. The text is in chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Here, the Apostle Paul uses Abraham to illustrate how God justifies sinners. Paul quotes from Genesis 15:6, which says, Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Paul goes on to say that these words were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but also for all who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. At the heart of these words lies the truth of the reliability of God's Word. God has given us the Bible so that we would walk by faith, just as Abraham did. Furthermore, the Bible sets forth the reasons for Christ's death and resurrection. He died to atone for our sins, and he rose to secure our justification. Because of what Christ has done, God the Father can say, "You are perfectly worthy of a place in heaven." Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
How do I know that my sins are put away? How do I know that Jesus Christ died an atoning death? How do I know that God accepted what he did as a sacrifice for our sins? How do I know that? Well, Paul said it. Well, I'm glad Paul said it. Paul believed it. Well, I'm glad Paul believed it. But all the apostles went around preaching it. Well, I'm glad they did. So what? Let me tell you. On the third day, God raised Christ from the dead. And that's it. How do I know that he is who he said he was? Because God raised him from the dead. How do I know his blood is atoning blood? Because God raised him from the dead. How do I know that he suffered and bled and died vicariously and victoriously? How do I know that there's acceptance with God through the merits of his blood? Because he rose the third day from the dead. As I said a few weeks ago, Muhammad's tomb is occupied. Buddha's tomb is occupied. Confucius' tomb is occupied. Why follow a loser? Christ is risen. That's it. It proves that his death has been accepted. As Paul said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. But also that resurrection inaugurated, it was the very first step in his glorification that gave him entrance to heaven as our high priest to sit at the right hand of God, thereby securing for all his people the application of all his merits to us. The Bible speaks, you'll find this in various places. I've already quoted one from Acts 26. There's another one in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible speaks of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. But what was the first step in that glory? Mark 16, verse 19 tells us. So then, the then refers to post-resurrection. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Risen from the dead, he ascended to the right hand of God. Ephesians 4 says, he ascended up on high and he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. At the first chapter of Ephesians, we've got one of the most wonderful passages in the New Testament. And Paul is having his great prayer for the Ephesian Christians, praying things that they might know, things that they might be able to grasp. And he wants them to grasp what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where he's far above all principality and power and every name that is named. Why did he do this? He gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. God raised him. God exalted him. God set him at his own right hand. For the church. Here is an exalted Savior. You see, a Savior who was conquered by death could never secure our justification. If Christ had remained in the tomb, we would have remained in our sins. If Christ had stayed in the grave, we would spend eternity in hell. There's no two ways about this. But a risen Savior secures for us the application of all He accomplished by His blood. Why did He rise? He rose because of our justification, to secure to us infallibly the action of God His Father to declare us righteous, acceptable. What does that mean? Can I dare to put it this way? Christ rose from the dead to secure for us the action of His Father to say, you are perfectly worthy of a place in heaven. Worthy? Worthy? Yes, worthy. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but just as God took all the demerit of our sin and laid it upon His Son, making Him worthy of death, so He takes all the merit of His Son and His obedience, and He lays it on us. And that righteousness is worthy of the highest heaven. There used to be a little sort of country and western hymn/song/something else that we'll not go into. It used to be very popular in Ulster, and people would sing it. You know, people will sing anything. And they get up with twanging guitars and they would sing, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Now, I understand the idea. If I could just get into heaven and no more, I'd be satisfied. It's a lot better to be in a corner of heaven than in the midst of hell. I can understand that feeling. But the late John Wiley, one of the earliest ministers in the Free Church, he would fume when people would get up and sing that hymn. He fumed. And John would say, there are no cabins in God's heaven. Jesus didn't say, I go to prepare a cabin for you. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. There are no cabins in the corner of glory land. There's nobody creeping into heaven to get into the corner, and they don't really deserve to be there. Every one of them in heaven could say, I don't deserve to be here because of all that I am, but when I look at Christ, who took all my guilt and gave me all His righteousness, if He deserves to be here, then so do I. It's a great salvation. Why did He die? He died because of our sins. Why did He rise again? He rose again because of our justification. And all whom He justifies are as certain of heaven as He is, on the very same basis, namely His perfect righteousness. Now, this is Paul's interpretation of that statement. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham was justified by faith. That's the statement illustrated in the life of Abraham. Now this is Paul's interpretation. As I sort of figured, we will await a little longer for his application, because we have only half dealt with this great and wonderful passage of Scripture. The application takes the whole thing and seals it to our hearts. And in the will of God, 2 or 3 weeks from tonight, we will look at that. In the meantime, go home with this. This was written because of me. God means you to hear his word tonight. God means you to get the message tonight. God means you to be benefited and blessed tonight. God does not mean you to come to his house and sit like a zombie and go out as a critic, unfazed, untouched, unmoved, unblessed. This was written for your good. God save us from evil hearts of unbelief. God give us hearts that are open to receive the good, the wonderful good that he has for us in the doctrine of free justification. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. We thank thee for writing it. Thank thee, O God, for writing the word with us in mind. We thank thee, our God, for writing it for our benefit, to do us good. Father, we bless thee tonight, that there are innumerable blessings for the people of God in the reading, contemplation of thy blessed word. Father, forgive us for the cavalier attitude we have so often had to Scripture. Forgive us for the crime of dealing with God's book much as we would deal with any other book. Lord, this is a living word. Forgive us for reading it in a dead or perfunctory manner. O Lord, give us eyes that penetrate to the truth, ears that are open to hear the word of the Spirit of God. Give us hearts that are open to the direction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray, bless thy word to our hearts. Show us Christ. Oh, we thank thee that the central message of the book of God is Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless thee that from Genesis to Revelation, he is the message. Show us Christ in his all sufficiency. We think of young people setting out in life, graduating from college, going out to find their way in an ungodly world. O Lord, thou hast said that it's this Christ who is the anchor of the soul, Christ our hope. Oh, we pray that tonight thou wilt settle their gaze upon Christ, and God grant that they may never lose sight of Jesus. Father in heaven, deal with the doubts that afflict so many of thy people. O God, we pray, get them beyond the question concerning did they weep enough or pray enough or say the right words when they came to Jesus. Lord, we pray, get their hearts and minds fixed trustingly upon the all-sufficient merit and righteousness of Christ. Lord, we thank thee, he is the very substance of our assurance. Bless thy word, therefore, to every heart, and grant that thou wilt give lasting fruit for the ministry of the gospel. Part is now with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought church tonight and evermore. We pray in Jesus' precious name.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.